your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Hello again, folks. Hope you're having a good day so far. Now, you know, the first couple weeks, we've done a lot of startup mechanisms to help you start learning how to think for yourself to create the type of financial future you desire. And so we're going to do a little more of that today. And I want to start out with this really great quote that says, "Great things can happen when you have the courage to be yourself." I really like that quote, and it kind of stood out to me when I first heard it in 2014, and it was said by Michael Sam, and you sports fans out there may remember that he was the recipient of the Arthur Ashe Courage Award at the ESPY Awards. And I don't think it necessarily had anything to do with being gay or anything like that. I think it was just that at that point in time, and possibly in his career, he had reached a plateau of success. And I think he wanted to remind everyone out there that it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what financial demographic you may belong to in the moment. I think it was just a really nice way of him reminding everyone that you can be anything you want to be today if you have the courage to be you, to be yourself. So I just wanted to start our conversation here today with that nice quote. Now I'm going to move on to, today's going to be a little spiritual, but we're going to end up with some really good affirmations and some really positive skill sets for you to start creating the type of prosperity that you want. In 2002, I was invited to attend the International New Thought Alliance Conference held in Phoenix, Arizona at the time. Now, I was relatively new to that spiritual organization, which is Christ-based, but their approach is more of a philosophical and meditative, I'll say it, philosophy to, you know, having a greater sense of your connection to God, as well as achieving your goals. And at that conference, I kept hearing the phrase, "and so it is." And I really had no idea what that meant. I thought it sounded nice, however, but at the time, there really was no special meaning behind it for me. As I looked around the conference room, throughout all the different speakers, for over those 4 days, and I saw the smiling faces of hundreds of people nodding their heads in agreement as speaker after speaker said out loud, "and so it is," in an affirming way. And sometimes the entire audience repeated the phrase back out loud. And so I felt I just had to investigate what I might be missing out on. So, you know, as I continued my studies in the spiritual realm after attending that particular conference, I also began to hear that same phrase spoken by unity ministers, independent ministers, in some of the books I started reading, and more in general conversation. And at that point in my spiritual development, I still really had no attachment to the phrase and felt it was simply just a nice, affirming, general statement to assist someone in achieving a goal. And it is a nice statement for any purpose. However, as time went by, I had to consider there may be a stronger content to those four little words. Since so many people I was now meeting used the phrase and seemed to embrace it in a very personal and intrinsic manner, I began to research what the words might mean to me in terms of my personal development. And I found, again, to my surprise, that those four words had little to no meaning to me. For instance, and my husband, Mark Douglas, and I, we used to kind of laugh about this. We talked about it. And you know, when we both thought about the phrase, what came to both his mind and mine was, and so it is what? Like, what is it? What is it? So when I had that thought about that phrase, I started to think about the deeper or more true meaning of what those words might mean and how they related to my life. So I found I had no moment of awareness, no aha moment, you know, no click, no feeling of resonance with that phrase. It meant absolutely nothing to me in terms of anything spiritual or financial or personal growth. And that didn't mean there was anything wrong with it. It just meant that it didn't resonate with me. And when you hear a really nice affirmation or positive statement and it doesn't resonate with you, then it's not going to work for you. And I understood that, of course. So, but I did feel at the same time that there must be something in that phrase and those four little words put together, since it seemed as if more and more people I respected, more and more people who were successful financially were using it. So I decided to go on a little quest to see if I could first relate to the phrase in some fashion, and second, what it might mean to me to use in terms of enhancing my life to create more prosperity. Now, for those of you who may not know my work, when I am looking for newer definitions of words, common words that we have commonalities within society, the first place I begin my research is Roget's Thesaurus. Now, not only does this give me a good foundation of differing words within the context of a definition, it also provides me with a starting point from which to move forward. So if we look at some of the root phrases similar to, and so it is, we can find that comparable affirming words and phrases have been used throughout time. For instance, in the Masonic vernacular, the phrase, so mote it be, has been used from its earliest beginnings. And certain Masonic organizations may also use the phrase, so it may be, which implies an affirming that it will be. In Christianity and Judaism, we can find the phrases, so be it, and it is written, the more common affirming phrases that I think most of us are familiar with, which from a religious or faith-based perspective, affirm that God's will be done. So the phrase, and so it goes, may also come from the Latin words, sola gratia, which means by grace alone. Another set of words affirming that goals will be achieved through God. And this takes us to another root word in the Abrahamic faiths, amen, which again affirms that it will happen. It is happening. It is accomplished. And you don't have to subscribe to any religion to use any phrase, any words to affirm anything for yourself. And the word amen is no different than the word om used in Eastern religions, such as Hinduism, to express or affirm the same desire. Again, another term, any term that someone can use to affirm without having to subscribe to any faith or religious doctrine. So after doing this research for myself, I came to find that the phrase, and so it is, was really not that unfamiliar. It really wasn't so unknown, and it really wasn't that much different from other phrases I had heard, possibly even used or still use, in my own life after all. And that was really cool. Why? Because it now meant that I understood those specific words and the meaning behind the phrase that initially I thought had no meaning to me. And if I wanted, I could use it in my life to affirm a chosen goal or set of goals. In other words, by adding any type of affirming word or set of words to my thought processes to achieve any goals in life is always a good thing. So take a few moments here today and ask yourself, what constitutes an affirmation to you? What words or phrases do you resonate with that is going to support and help you grow your sense of personal success and true prosperity? Just take them through a few moments and write that down. Ask yourself, what is an affirmation? How is an affirmation going to work for me to achieve my goals? Do my affirmations have to be faith-based, or can they just be a general phrase? For each one of us to become truly successful financially, we have to define that. We have to define what affirmations mean, number one, and then create ones or use ones that resonate with us. So whatever you choose to use for an affirmation, a written word, a song, a poem, is up to you. It doesn't matter what it is. It only matters that it works for you. So I'll give you a nice prayer from the book of Prayers That Avail Much. Hey, you up there, you bird up there, look down here. Look and see me down here. Take my cares away from here for eternity. Amen. Now, that's just an affirmation set of words that are based in nature. And what is nature created by? The power of God. So again, anything you choose to affirm, as long as you believe in it, will work. Because God is giving you just what you're asking for. Okay, so getting back to our conversation, an affirmation can also be a prayer. And when I use these terms, folks, just I'm using generally accepted terms, all right? So if you do affirmations and that's what you call them, that's great. If you pray, then that's what you say, it's prayer. Then if you meditate or you visualize, whatever term you use, just use that. Okay. I'm not telling you to change any terminology that you have, but if you don't have a connection to the word affirmation or the word prayer or the word meditation or the word visualization, you need to define that for any type of positive message that you're giving yourself for any goal you want to achieve. Okay. And I bring this up a lot because traders, a lot of times they don't subscribe to a certain religion. And so they just say, well, prayer doesn't work. Okay. Well, what do you think does work? Well, they don't have an answer. They say, well, I don't know what works. That's why I'm calling you. It's like, okay. All right. So we have to start by redefining what definitions they are going to use that they believe are going to help them achieve their trading goals. And this applies in all areas of life. So any type of prayer, again, you don't have to subscribe to any type of religion or faith to create your own affirmations. Meaning, even though any prayer may come from a book or any type of holy scriptures, anyone can use any words to invoke help from nature, from a god, from an angel, from a holy person to accomplish peace and prosperity in their lives. However, with that in mind, you have to understand that believing is what makes things happen. Knowing that your prayer or your meditation or your visualization will happen, knowing that what you want will be fulfilled, is the key to your success. And this is the way it works, guys. It doesn't work any other way. If you truly don't believe that you're going to be the best trader, and you're going to be able to pull that, you know, $1 million out of the market or whatever number you have in your brain, then it's never going to happen. Now, Ernest Holmes was a very great philosopher in the early 20th century, and he wrote in Creative Mind and Success that always when we pray, we must believe. Our idea of prayer is not so much asking God for things as it is believing that we already have the things that we need. So what does this mean? It means if you do not believe for any reason, to any degree, that your prayer or affirmation or visualization or meditation will not be fulfilled, then it will not. One of the things I work on extensively, as I just said, especially working with traders, is the concept of the difference between wishing and hoping and setting a goal or set of goals and believing that they will achieve them. Now, keep in mind, wishing and hoping is just that, wishing you had something you don't, and hoping through some miracle that it'll magically appear. Now, that doesn't sound like anyone who's focused on achievement, does it? That doesn't sound like someone who is doing anything to accomplish their goals, does it? No. Wishing only supports a belief that you will want, that what you want will not manifest in your life. And hoping only supports a belief that you know you will not get what you want. Now, in my coaching business for traders, which I've been doing since 1999, a number of my trading clients have argued with me about this concept of wishing and hoping. They claim wishing and hoping is a good way to create things in life. However, usually after some lengthy discussion, I ask them to make a list of every goal they have achieved or accomplished through wishing and hoping. And in each case, with every single trader who I asked to make that list, who claimed wishing and hoping is a good way to accomplish goals, when they sat down to make that list, they had nothing to write. In other words, until I suggested they write down each and every goal they had achieved just by wishing and hoping, and found they could not come up with one goal that was accomplished using that methodology, they still claim that wishing and hoping was a good, if not the only way to achieve what they wanted. But once they spent some time trying to come up with any goal they had achieved by wishing and hoping, they realized that wishing and hoping is just that, wishing and hoping. And that mechanism had not helped them achieve anything. So I want you to take a few moments, too, to think back in your own life. Think about the times you wished for something. Did it happen? Or how about the times you hoped for something to happen or appear? Did it happen or appear? Now, if you wished and hoped for things and they happened, that's great. But more than likely, I would say most of you are still wishing and hoping for achieving or achievements. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here listening to me or anyone else. But that's a good thing, because if you can recognize what is not working for you to achieve your financial goals and become the best trader you can be and realize any of your other life dreams, then you can now get down to work and really make it happen. Now, the reason that I bring up wishing and hoping is this is another clearing out process like we did the first couple weeks we were together. Many people approach prayer with that type of thought processes, meaning maybe if I pray hard enough or long enough, God will bless me and answer my prayers. That, my friends, is not believing in realization of your goals and dreams. What it is begging, pleading, and whatever other word you can think of, but it does not send the message out to the universe or to God that you believe you deserve what you are asking for. nor does it send any type of positive energy out to the universe or God that you know you can accomplish what you desire. So you have to ask yourself, why don't I believe in my ability to create what I want? Why is that? How did I end up with a mindset, a finite mindset, a closed loop, shall we say, of not believing I can get what I want in life? And as I said before, we certainly aren't born with that type of belief system. So how do we end up as adults without a foundation of self-trust that we can achieve our dreams? And I'll give you a couple examples of this. Now think about this. How many times has someone else, when you worked at another career, someone else in the office gotten a raise and you felt betrayed or angry? Has a family member or friend chastised you for wanting more and asked you why you were so greedy? Were you ever told that you would never get ahead because you didn't have a higher degree? Have you ever been told to be satisfied with what you have right now? Have you ever been told you are reaching too high? Now, those four examples that I've just given you, they absolutely were said to me quite a few times in my life. And it got to the point where I realized those were really holding me back. And you got to keep in mind, folks, that those statements are said by other people. And those other people, while maybe outwardly to you or I, they may seem successful, but if they truly were successful, then they wouldn't be stating those limiting statements to you. They would be encouraging you to go on. So by having a less than honest mindset, there would be little chance that you could ultimately achieve any of your goals because you don't believe that you could. So if you really believe and know that you deserve everything you want for, then you can achieve it. Because that's what's meant for you. It's meant for me. It's meant for you. It's meant for everyone. If they believe it. So take a few moments and write down why you think you may not be able to achieve your goals. And you might be surprised at what you see.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay, so you also have to understand, folks, that you don't have to have had anyone telling you that you can't do something or that you shouldn't go after something to have any limiting beliefs about what you can achieve. You may simply have let time slip away or think you have let time slip away. Or you might have been busy raising a family or taking care of others or just plain working to make ends meet, to not have achieved some of your life goals. But you have to understand, the energy is the same, whether you are keeping yourself back or someone else is keeping you back. It doesn't matter if someone else is telling you not to do something or go after something, or if you are telling yourself not to do something, the whole process of not doing is the same energy. This is how it's multidimensional. Once I stopped listening to anyone else, and I mean anyone else, tell me I was wrong for choosing my own path to follow in terms of learning about what career I wanted for myself, I started to find out what exactly it was I needed to do to achieve my goals. One of my good friends is, his name's Perry Orr. He's just a absolutely dynamic business whiz, self-made millionaire. He's probably one of the most influential people I've ever met in my life. I worked for him for a short period of time, and we're friends to this day. And I have to say that the professional education I learned while working for this man created my own success-oriented mindset, a mindset that propelled me into determining who I wanted to be and what I wanted to do in life. And what he taught me was that it didn't matter what I achieved, only that I got on my path, whatever that is. So keep in mind, anytime you allow yourself to get distracted or interrupted from your goals, trading goals or whatever, by others or even yourself, you disrespect yourself. You no longer honor yourself, and you are no longer allowing what God has in store for you to manifest. So what we're going to do here is we're going to continue on with this, and then I'm going to give you some nice materials to work with. Now, I have a good friend who was named Joe Carocchio. He was a multidimensional man. He was a marketing executive. He was a fabulous rock and roll musician. And he wrote a book called The Law of Distraction and Interruption. And we did quite a bit of work together. He also published a newspaper where I was a regular contributor for about 8 years. He since passed away, but we did a book together, and he was very gracious to allow me to use his material. And some of the things that he says in his book is the law of attraction simply says that you attract into your life whatever you think about. Your dominant thoughts will find a way to manifest, but you also have to consider circumstances and how you make your choices. So making choices involves the mental process of thinking along the process of judging the merits of multiple options and what those should be, and selecting one or some of them for action. I mean, simple examples would mean, deciding whether to get up in the morning or go back to sleep, or go for a jog, or, veg out on the couch. More complex examples, choices that we have to make, would include choosing a lifestyle, religious affiliation or political position. So every day we have to keep in mind, we make choices, some minor and some major. In some cases, we have to think for ourselves. In others, the choices are made for us. But overall, we must take responsibility for all of our choices, which lead into all of our actions. So, let's just try and make our choices based on integrity and the best of intentions. And how do we accomplish this? Don't dwell on past experiences, okay? If you've had a big loss in the markets, you can't dwell on that. That money is gone. Okay? It's not lost. You know where it went. But you can't dwell on that. You also can't dwell on your present monetary status. Because if you're only looking at what you don't have, then you're looking in the rearview mirror. You're not looking forward. You can't be attached to material things that you don't have yet. Okay, that doesn't mean you can't strive for them, but you can't be jealous of others. And I'm not saying that any of you are, but you can't look at someone else who has a nicer house or a bigger car and say, oh my gosh, I'll never get that. Because again, that goes back to disrespecting yourself and not believing in your choices. So when you start the path of learning how to create what you want, try not to be attached to the outcome, because the outcome is going to manifest itself just as naturally and exponentially based on the path that you're choosing to create the outcome. You have to remember to express yourself with integrity and honest communication with your innermost self to create what you want. I mean, obviously, some people, we know have made a huge difference in the world by their choices, are well known, such as Mother Teresa, Winston Churchill, George Washington, Gandhi. I mean, the length goes on and on. But other people who have made huge differences in the world, just like you or me, we may remain unknown, never to be remembered for our great contributions. And that might be the way it should be. Because you see, each one of us makes a positive contribution to the world because we are changing it forever and creating a new and better world. And even the smallest of contributions can make a huge difference and further us along our own paths. And just remember that every single morning is another opportunity to shape and change not only your world, but the world around you. You have 86,400 seconds or 86,400 moments each day to spend. And they can be spent mindfully in a positive way to uplift yourself, making your world a better place to live. Now, you may never know the dramatic effect you have on the world and the future you may be creating for others to enjoy, but you will definitely know the dramatic effect you have on yourself and your loved ones, creating a life to enjoy by following your path. So take those 86,400 moments each morning and affirm to yourself that you are going to shape and create exactly what you want. You are going to change the destiny of your life with even one small act of affirmation, one small thought of believing in yourself. Because it's your choice. And because this is what God wants for you. He wants you to take those 86,400 moments and make them the best they can be. And you already know how to do this. You've done it before. And you can do it again. And that's what I said a few moments ago. Don't dwell on the past. Don't think that you've missed the opportunity to step into your highest self. That moment is available to you every single breath you take. I can't tell you how many traders come to me and say, oh, gosh, you know, if only I would have taken this trade or this set of trades, you know, I wouldn't have blown up my account. Oh, if only I had taken that trade and then I missed out on the opportunity. I missed out on the move in the markets. I can't tell you. Thousands and thousands of traders have said this. And the challenge for them is that they're living in the past. And it's what I call the trading zone of lack, where you can only see what you haven't accomplished and what you don't have and what you think everyone else has. And I know I say this a lot, but it is true. Do I look back at my life and have regret? Well, everybody has regret to some degree, but am I happy with where I'm at today? Absolutely, because I'm not living in the past. I'm always looking forward saying, how can I improve myself? How can I, you know, make more money than I did last year? But the difference between myself and a lot of traders and possibly some of you folks out there is I don't have a conflict about making as much money as I feel I deserve. I have no conflict with my faith, my heart, my mind about making as much money as I do work for. And I work hard for my money, just like you do. I know some of you out there, like myself, we're working 7 days a week because we love what we do. Hopefully you love what you do. I love what I do. And because we know that when we believe in ourselves, great things happen. And when I say great things, I mean, that could just be as simple as it's the middle of winter and you have to go to the grocery store and a car pulls out and gives you a parking spot right by the front door so you don't have to walk through a snowstorm. Those are the great things that happen. And when you see those things as great things, then they build and build and build upon one another. And the more that you see them as great things, the more you believe in yourself. And when you believe in yourself, folks, there's no stopping you. I know I've mentioned before, after Mark Douglas, my husband, passed away, I lost everything. And I had to fight to keep the copyrights to our books, you know, because some goofballs, you know, wanted to take them. And everybody told me, oh, just give it up. Just, you know, just go get a real job. Excuse me? I have a real job. I'm, you know, a world-renowned coach to traders. I'm a world-renowned author. I'm a heck of a good cook. I'm a great friend. I'm a great pet parent. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I was supposed to give all that up just because I lost everything? No, that's not who I am. And that's not who you are either. Evelyn Eccles lost everything at the age of 80, and she started over. I can tell you countless people that do that. So just hold that thought. Okay, so I guess I should have really elaborated a little bit on Evelyn Eccles. For those of you who didn't live in Chicago, Evelyn Eccles was a really dynamic woman, and she grew up on a farm. She was just dirt poor, and ended up marrying a great man, and they, you know, did whatever they needed to do to succeed in business, and ultimately she founded the Eccles School of Travel. And this was long before the internet, obviously. We were talking back in the 1960s, where she went into underprivileged school districts and she took young men and women and taught them how to be travel agents, you know, because, you know, air travel was just taking off back then. And so she had these schools for, gosh, I don't know, decades. I don't remember exactly how many, but for a long time, basically until the internet came around. So, you know, her and her husband were very philanthropic, and they, you know, became very wealthy. And, you know, she was just a really lovely, lovely person. I mean, I met her several times when Mark and I lived in Chicago, and just a really sweet person. Never forgot her humble beginnings. Anyway, her husband died, and when he died, I guess he had made some bad investments. And so all she had left out of their empire was just their condo on Lakeshore Drive. And her accountant told her, well, you better sell your condo because you don't have any money to live on. And she said, no. She goes, I'll go get a job. And her accountant said, look, lady, you know, you're 80 years old. You know, who's going to hire you? And she said, I don't know, but I'll figure it out. So she went to the mayor at the time of Chicago, and she said, look, I need a job. I'll start out, you know, teaching in the schools. I'll volunteer my time, but I need to stay active. And so they did. They sent her into, again, the lower income neighborhoods, and she started encouraging young women to finish high school and graduate at the very minimum. And then one thing led to another, and then she began teaching and getting, you know, paid by the city. So, you know, that spurred me on after I lost everything. And I'm thinking, well, if this 80-year-old woman, you know, could pull herself up by the bootstraps and have this wonderful job, you know, late in life, what am I complaining about? I mean, I wasn't even, you know, hardly half her age. So all I'm saying is that it doesn't matter what has happened to you previously. You can start over every single morning. You can make it happen. Okay? So what we're going to do now is, there's a good friend of mine, and her name is Bonnie Marlowe. And she's actually Mark's ex. But her and I became really good friends. And she supported me so intensely after Mark died. She was one of the first people I called. And she's the one that helped me really get back on track. And what she taught, she's retired now, but what she used to teach was the guidelines to creating an image board. Now, when I was in high school, we used to call them collages, you know, where you'd cut out pictures from magazines or headlines from newspapers and put them on a poster board, you know, things you wanted in life. And she took that a little further and renamed it as image boards. And so I just want to give you a couple of the things that she she states on how to do this. I mean, she went from, you know, before she met Mark, she had been divorced and had two girls to raise, and she lived in Michigan, and she wanted to come to Chicago to have a career. And so within, and I'll tell you, you know, Mark credits her for getting him started on his spiritual path, because within 6 months, she had accomplished every single one of her goals. Within 6 months. So here's the guidelines to creating your image board. Okay, first of all, you have to identify and clarify your goals. Make sure without a doubt, and I'm quoting Bonnie here, make sure without a doubt that you want what it is you say you want. These must be your desires, not what someone else wants for you. If it feels good, then that's what's meant to be. Okay, this might take some time because most people do not have a written goal list. Okay? Now, present tense, stay in the now. It's most important that every goal stated is in the present tense as if it is real and happening right now. You know, as I've mentioned previously, make statements that start with I am, I have, I do, etc. Right? So avoid the word want, because that tells your brain you don't have it. Okay? So, and don't say things like, oh, I don't do that anymore, because that means you still do. Meditate or pray or visualize. Close your eyes for a few moments and imagine your goals as statements being true and happening right now. How would you feel? How would you feel if you were living right now all your goals? And then say out loud, I'm thrilled. I'm excited. Because this is your present life. This is what you are creating. Now, after you've made your list, gather your supplies to create your image board and find a good space that's quiet and peaceful. Lay out your poster board, put your goal statements so you can see them, your photographs, post your feelings on there, because your image board validates you and your dreams. Think how effective billboards on the expressway or on the side of the road when you're driving by. Think how, you know, you look at them, right? You may even call somebody who's on a billboard. So create your idea of a billboard. Give yourself a reasonable time frame to complete each goal and write it down. Okay? As Henry David Thoreau wrote, go confidently in the direction of your dreams. Live the life you have imagined. Block any negativity. Protect yourself from all of those people who say no and will attempt to discourage you. Just smile at them and say, okay, thank you for sharing your opinion. And then walk away. An attitude is everything. Be positive and be grateful for what you have. Remember to say thank you to God. Thank you, God. Thank you. As Albert Schweitzer said, affirmation of life is the spiritual act by which man ceases to live unknowingly and begins to devote himself to his life that to which he was born, to raise it to its true value. To affirm life is to deepen, to make more inward, and to exalt the will of God to live and prosper. So believe your life is for the greater good, even if the greater good is just you. You may not understand it while it's happening, but it will. Believe that you are guiding your life forward and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is written, and so it is done, and so it is. Amen.